Welcome to the C3 Oxford Falls podcast. For more information about our church, please visit myc3church.net. Wherever you are listening from right now, get ready to receive as God has a word just for you.
Beautiful. Well, good morning, church. Good morning, good morning. Can you remain standing with me? And let's just turn our eyes to God this morning as we receive the word. Father in heaven, I thank you for the power of your word. The power of your word. Lord, I thank you that your spirit can do what only your spirit can do on the inside of us with your word today. And Lord, I thank you that today is about worshiping in the midst of the battle. And Lord, I pray that as I preach today, that a spirit of worship will rise up on the inside of people today. Lord God, that their voice of worship will be louder than the voice of worry, the voice of fear. In Jesus' name, I commit this word into your hands. And we can say amen together. Beautiful. Well, please grab a seat. We're in a four-week series on worship, and today's worship title is Sing Louder. And it's all about singing louder in the midst of your battle, singing louder in the midst of situations, circumstances that might be yelling at you, that might be loud in your life. We've been singing a song, and we sung it this morning, This Is How I Fight My Battles. It's got two lines. Why don't you say it with me? This is how I fight my battles. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. If I was to rename this message title or give it another message, it's This Is How I Fight My Battles. You know, I've heard some people actually laugh and say, we're singing this is how, but how do we actually fight our battles? So, message today is giving this song context. It's going to share with you today how to actually fight your battles. And today we're going to look at a story out of the Old Testament from 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And it's a story that centers on Jehoshaphat, who was the king of Judah. And the Bible says in those times, it was the time where Israel and Judah were divided. And it talks about the kings. And it says good king, bad king, bad king, bad king, evil king, bad king, good king. And it's like, oh, there's a good king. And Jehoshaphat was a good king. He's described as this. His heart was devoted to the ways of the Lord. And so he took over from his dad, Asa, who was also a good king. He established his reign, and it says, as you read the story, that there was much honor, wealth, and success as he reigned. And so he's in the middle of a peaceful time, but then the tide turns. And let's read what it says in chapter 20, verse 2. Some people came and told Jehoshaphat, a vast army is coming against you from Edom. From the other side of the Dead Sea, it is already in Hazazon Tamar. And so the situation is this, there was peace, but suddenly it's changed and there is a vast army is coming against you. And this army is like no other army. It's three nations that are combined together. These nations actually worship demonic gods. They sacrifice humans before they go into worship. Pat, my husband, said they would have looked like the orcs from The Lord of the Rings. And so they were a ferocious-looking, barbarian-type people. And when they came to war, they would slaughter everyone. And so there was great fear amongst the people. Now, you and I might not actually literally go and fight a war, but I can imagine that all of you have experienced someone giving you bad news, something coming against you, an enemy closing in, or being prepared and geared up to fight a battle. You know, bad news, battles, and enemies come in many sizes, shapes, and forms. Some of us will go through faith battles, health battles, family battles, emotional battles, work and business battles. And I'm wondering today, as I share this story of how Jehoshaphat fought his battle, that you can take the principles of how he learnt to fight his battle well into your own battle today. And so we're going to go through this story, and I'm going to highlight four different strategies that Jehoshaphat had. So let's continue the story. In verse 3, it says this. When Jehoshaphat heard the news, this is his response. Alarmed. Who knows that feeling? Alarmed. Jehoshaphat resolved to inquire of the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast for all Judah. The people of Judah came together to seek help from the Lord. Indeed, they came from every town in Judah to seek him. You know, this response was a very natural emotional response to the bad news. Alarm. Alarm isn't just a little bit of fear. It's like major panic. It's like such distress came upon him. But in the midst of an emotional response, Jehoshaphat chose well. He chose to seek God. And it says in this passage that he resolved to inquire of the Lord. He resolved to fast. He resolved to pray. He resolved to seek God. And I love this word resolve because it's an actual, deliberate, intentional, willful choice to seek God. You know, I know in my own battles that I've had to face that you can do a battle with God or you can do it on your own. And it's like I often see it as two pathways you can walk down. And God puts before me sometimes a challenge. Are you going to walk down the pathway of trusting me and bringing this situation into my hands, or are you going to walk it alone? And I know that when you walk it with God, it always turns out better than walking it alone. You know, it's interesting that many of us can walk the battle alone sometimes. And it's a good question to ask, well, why do we do that? And I think often because fear is a response, is that there's different responses to fear in each of our lives. We can fight, like push in and fight. And I think that can sometimes cause us to try and fix things and to take control. Or we can freeze and ignore God. Or we can flee and forget God. But in the midst of fear, we need to remember to come to God. You know, Jehoshaphat, as a son, watched his dad. And if you read the few chapters earlier in this story, his dad did follow the Lord, but sometimes he didn't. And he went through two battles. One battle, he chose to seek God and inquire of God, and all went well. In the other battle, he didn't seek God, and it didn't go well. And it's interesting, his life finished with a hardened heart where he didn't turn to God. And it says in 2 Chronicles 16, verse 12, and this is talking about his dad, in the 39th year of his reign, Asa was afflicted with a disease in his feet. Though his disease was severe, even in his illness, he did not seek help from the Lord, but only from the physicians. And so I think this is a great reminder today, no matter what you're going through, whether it's health, whether it's finances, that yes, seek the help of maybe professionals, but first and foremost, we need to remember to seek God. You know, at this time, Jehoshaphat resolved to inquire of the Lord. And I want to just talk to you a little bit about this word inquire, because when you inquire, you actually seek information by questions. And I love this because you don't just go to God like empty-hearted and empty kind of in your mind. You can actually go with questions before God and say, God, talk to me about this situation. How do I get out of it? What are you doing in the midst of this situation? What is this season that I'm in at the moment? So if you can all remember this, church, remember to inquire of God. Go hungry with questions. The other thing I love in this story is Jehoshaphat didn't do this on his own. He did it together. And I love that if you're in the midst of a battle, don't feel like you need to fight the battle on your own. Get some friends, do it with your connect group. So Jehoshaphat's response was he gathered the people to pray. And if you read the full story, he prayed this prayer, and his finishing cry for help, we can read in verse 12. It says this: "For we have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us." I think if you really read into this, he's really sounding quite helpless. "We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you." But our eyes are on you. I don't know what to do, but my eyes are on you. I don't know how to get out of this situation, Lord, but my eyes are on you. Psalm 121 says this: "I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and of earth." You know, there's a powerful thing that happens when we lift our eyes. When we're in the midst of a challenge, sometimes our eyes can be downcast, or where all we're doing is looking at the situation or wanting to fix it in some way. But God is calling out to us in the midst of challenge: lift your eyes to me, lift your eyes and see that I'm good, that I'm big, that I'm powerful, that I can shift things in your life. So we need to lift our eyes. One thing I've learned over the years is sometimes if I'm finding it hard to lift my eyes, I actually go to a higher place. And I find if you can change your geography sometimes, it can shift a lift on the inside of you. And so I've got a photo here of a place that I go to. I live in Cromer, and it's my little runaway place where I go up high, and it looks all over Narrabeen Lake. And it's on this rock that I lift up my eyes and I ask God to help me. And I want to ask you today, have you got a place that you can go to lift up your eyes? Let me go back to Asa for a moment, Jehoshaphat's dad. When he failed to inquire of God in one of those battles that he went through, a prophet came and said these words to him in 2 Chronicles 16. "For the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to Him." You know, I love this because when you lift your eyes to God, God's eyes are turned towards you. And when God's eyes are turned towards you, so is His strength. He's putting strength in you. And what else do you need for the battle? I think strength is the thing that mostly you need for the battle. In the midst of the battle, God can also give you strategy. He can give you wisdom. He can give you joy. He can give you guidance. Who needs all those things in the midst of the battle? You get them when you lift your eyes to God, and His eyes and His heart flow out to us. The other thing that I find powerful when you lift your eyes is that you actually see things from a different perspective. You know, in the midst of the battle, sometimes you're trying to fix things and just deal with the situation and not be able to see the bigger purpose sometimes of the battle. Because I found that often the battles that we go through are not just about the battle, but they're about what God is doing in us and maybe in other situations around us that is bigger than the battle itself. I did a study once when I was in the middle of a trial on what God can do in the midst of a trial. Let me share with you some scriptures. I hope they inspire you, although they'll bring us back to reality of that we will go through trials. James says this: "You will go through various kinds of trials, but in the midst of them you will learn to put on joy, and you will steadfastness will be produced in you." Paul says it in Romans, that suffering that we go through will produce endurance, and endurance produces character. Paul says in Corinthians that in the midst of afflictions, we can experience God's comfort. And Peter says that in the fiery trials that we might go through, that your faith is being refined like gold. And so in the midst of the battle, we will learn things about God, but God is often doing things on the inside of us. And so what happened was, the story continues, is after they prayed, let's have a look in 2 Chronicles 20 verse 13. All the men of Judah with their wives and children and little ones, I like that, the little ones were there too, the whole family affair. This is the key bit, a strategy. Stood there before the Lord. You know, often in the midst of a battle, you want to run. You want to try and fix. But what happened was Jehoshaphat and all the people, they prayed and then they stood. They prayed, then they stopped and they stood still. And in the middle of the standing still, the Spirit of the Lord came upon a prophet and spoke a prophetic word into the people. Let me read this word. Verse 15, he says, "Listen, King Jehoshaphat and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem. This is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army. For the battle is not yours, but God's." Who thinks that's good news? "Tomorrow," then he gives them strategy. "Tomorrow, march down against them. They will be climbing up the pass of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the gorge in the desert of Jeruel." I love this. God is so specific. He knows where the enemy army is going to be. Verse 17, "You will not have to fight this battle." But they still had to take up their positions. "Stand firm and see the deliverance the Lord will give you, Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid." I love this. He says quite a few times, "Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid." Someone here needs to hear that today. "Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Go out to face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you." You know, it's in the, yeah, awesome. Amen. It's in the stopping when you hear the voice of God. Pat and I have been through many battles over our 50 years or 30 years together. And we have found that if we can get one promise from the Word of God or a prophetic word direct from God Himself via the Holy Spirit, we can go through any battle if we've got one word. We just need one word. And so if I'm going through a battle, I go up to my high place. I lift up my eyes and I say, "God, I need a word. I need you to show me what your perspective is of this situation. I need a promise to get me through this battle." And a battle can rage for years sometimes. We're in a battle at the moment. It's been going for 10 years. But we have got our promises because we have sought God and He has given us promises. One thing that we've learned to do is we write our promises down. About 20 years ago, Pat and I made some really stupid financial decisions. Anyone else relate to that? We made some investments that went horribly wrong and we lost a lot of money. And it caused our finances to be very tight for about 10 years. And in the midst of that 10 years of financial struggle, we kept getting prophecy after prophecy after prophecy that God would bless our finances. Did we see it for 10 years? No. During that time, I was teaching money and wealth with no wealth in our bank account, but I kept going. And during that time, Pat gathered all our prophecies and he put them into a soundtrack. And he put it onto a soundtrack.
"God is setting up our financial future. New finance, fresh flows of money come into our lives. God personally prospers us. My household is full of riches. God is restoring finances in our world. The things that were meant to set us up. Our financial future is secure. He is the one recovering our finances."
Oh, did you hear that? That went louder. We play that when we're discouraged. We remind God of his promises because his word will not return void. We have one of those for a family situation we're dealing with. When I get discouraged, I play my soundtrack and I speak it out. I go up to my high place and I remind God of his promises and I speak it out. We need to have the word of God very rich, very strong in our life. During the Every Woman Conference, Darlene Check was here. Darlene is the, an international worship leader extraordinaire. But she's had a battle with breast cancer. And she was asked, what has been the role of worship in the midst of your battle? And I was astounded by her answer. She said, worship didn't come first. The word came first. She got a word from God, and out of getting a word, a promise from God, then she was able to worship. Can I have the band come up? Thanks. The fourth strategy is worship. Worship. The people responded in the midst of battle in worship. And in a moment, I'm going to read you a couple of scriptures and we'll see that they responded in three different ways in worship. In verse 18, it says this, Jehoshaphat, remembering the prophet has just spoken and said, the battle is not yours, it is God's. And this is how Jehoshaphat responded. He bowed down with his face to the ground. And all the people of Judah and Jerusalem fell down in worship before the Lord. Then some Levites stood up and praised the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud voice. Let me say today, the first response was bowed on his knees in thankfulness and awe that God could deliver them. They were thankful. And they were in reverence that God was a big God who, no matter what your situation and circumstance, he could fix it and help them. Now, I found that sometimes God will do the miraculous and go bang, all fixed, like he did here. But other times he will put the strength in you to fight the battle. After that response, the priest stood up. I love this. They stood up and sung with a loud voice. Now, why a loud voice? It's not about being loud. It's not even about preaching loud. I can preach soft. But it's about the faith that they had on the inside of them. When you sing loud, it builds your faith. When you sing loud, you're speaking over your situation. When you sing loud, you're speaking with the confidence and assuredness that God can shift things. I believe when the priest stood up and sung loud, the people got a spirit of faith on them that said, yeah, my God can do what he's promised to do. And with that, the third type of worship came in. In verse 21, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise him for the splendor of his holiness as they went out at the head of the army. Now, this is pretty revolutionary. You don't send your big fighters out, you send your worship team. Would you like to do that, worship team? Go out and face those orcs. Okay, you go out, guys. They worshipped. Verse 22, as they begin to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and they were defeated. We need to know today that when we worship, when we lift our hearts, when we lift our voice, that worship can lift us higher than our situation. Worship can cast away every fear. Worship can take away every anxiety. Worship can raise our faith. Worship can strengthen our souls. Worship can shift things in the spirit. Worship can push back darkness. Worship can release angels. Worship can activate the miraculous hand of God. And worship can lift God to fight for us. Amen.
Hey everyone, what a joy it is to bring the Word of God to so many people all around the world every week. And I just love technology for that reason, that we're able to broadcast through television, through podcasts, through social media, and to bring Jesus into people's worlds in all kinds of ways. Obviously, there are costs to that. There are expenses in reaching out and accomplishing this preaching of the gospel. And in the book of Romans, Paul says, how shall I go unless somebody send them? And he's talking about the beautifulness of the preaching of the gospel, how it brings peace and joy into people's worlds. And so the people who are sending us into other people's worlds is you and the people of our congregations. And I'd love you to join with them and with us as partners, sending the gospel throughout all the world through all these means that God has put in our hands. And as we partner together, I know that there will be thousands of people in heaven for eternity because of our efforts together. God has called us to do this, and we depend on people to send us and support us in taking the gospel to the world. I want to say thank you for standing with us and believing God. I'm praying and asking God to touch you and to bless your seed that you sow so that you'll experience an incredible harvest in your lives in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey guys, thanks for listening to this week's message from our church. Hope you'll stay connected by following us online. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram by using @C3 Oxford Falls.